This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
Hello and welcome here to another edition of the Husker Online postgame live show. Sean Callahan, Steve Sipple, Robin Washett. We are in a very dark, empty Michigan stadium. The big house as Nebraska fell 34-3 today to the Wolverines. Nebraska now has gone 20 consecutive offensive series without a touchdown. They've scored just one touchdown since the injury to quarterback Casey Thompson back on October 29th. So a lot of storylines that we're going to dive into in this game, but the offense is clearly kind of the issue right now. Not only is Casey Thompson out, Nebraska lost Chuba Purdy in this game with a high ankle sprain as he left the game on crutches, was in a boot after the game. That's not a good deal. I mean, with just 2 weeks left to go, his outlook not looking good. But then the other major storyline was offensive coordinator Mark Whipple. He got taken out of this game as well in the second quarter, was wiped out on the sideline, had to be carted off the field. X-rays were given. Now, Whipple was able to get back involved in the second half. We're sitting in the Nebraska coach's box right now. So where I'm sitting right now is probably where Mark Whipple sat for the second half. He missed the first three plays, Steve and Rob. Offensive analyst Steve Cooper, I'm told, called those three plays, which led to a first down. And then Mark Whipple took back over. They wheeled him up here. And, you know, in his situation, you guys were getting around the stadium's not easy. So I can only imagine how hard it was to get Mark Whipple from all the way on the other end of 100,000 people to where we're sitting right now.
Yeah, and has been well documented, especially this season. There's one tunnel to and from the field to the locker room, and it's on the opposite side of where we're currently sitting. So he had to go through that tunnel to the locker room and then all the way around the entire halfway point of the stadium just to get up here. And doing that in a wheelchair, I'm sure, was a process. So, you know, just – this has been such a weird year in so many different ways. Now you add this to it where a coach literally gets injured during a game and they're going to wonder who's even going to call the plays. And I guess to get some clarity that he did all but three plays in the second half, you know, I guess that kind of explains why things didn't look a whole lot different, I guess.
Well, I'm just glad the Whip's okay too. I mean, you don't want that to be
a major. He's been through a lot this year.
Yeah. You don't want it to be a major issue. Yeah,
it looked bad there for a second, not knowing what the injury was.
Exactly. So, you know, he's okay. Yeah, this is a difficult season. I mean, in some ways it's just ridiculously difficult, and add to it that they're in this thresher. I always use that word, but I like it because the Big Ten's a thresher of a conference. You come here banged up, you come in here with an interim coach, an interim defensive coordinator, backup quarterback, and now you're facing a Michigan team, a machine right now. It's a machine. And they're hitting. I mean, and you know what? They're good in all three phases. And they're physical in all three phases.
Their quarterback play was a bit underwhelming.
Yeah, the quarterback, McCarthy, didn't have a good game. But what's the matter? They just pounded at
him. Throw.
I mean, he doesn't want his quarterback.
He could have not thrown. They could have won today 34-3 without throwing a pass.
Yes, I agree.
They're – and that's why I think they're the best team in the league right now. So, yeah, it was going to be difficult. Everybody knew it. Everybody knew. This game, I don't know about you guys, it's about what I expected.
Vegas nailed it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's about what I expected.
It was a 30.5 spread, and Michigan won by 30.
I thought Nebraska might be able to get 10.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the trend now, too, guys. Nebraska's offense, 5 of their 7 games since the firing of Scott Frost, have scored 14 or less points. They've only broken 14 twice since the firing of Scott Frost.
Jeez. Yeah. I mean, you talk about no touchdowns since the opening drive of the Minnesota game. It's been 20 drives in a row now, and they've managed 6 points in those 20 drives. Not only are they not scoring touchdowns, they're hardly scoring at all. And I think 18 punts since Casey Thompson's been hurt, plus like five turnovers. I mean, it's been about as inept of offensive football as we've seen at Nebraska, maybe ever.
Yeah, and again, they're playing tough defenses. Minnesota, highly ranked top 10 defense. Michigan's real. I mean, that's a real defense. They're rated number one nationally against the run. They're rated number three overall total defense. Yeah, it was going to be difficult. It was going to be really hard. And these teams now have Nebraska well scouted at this time of year. They know what Nebraska's going to do and what they're not going to do. I think there was some – I heard one of the defensive backs from Michigan say there were some questions about what Nebraska would do just because of the new quarterback. But he also said he figured Nebraska would simplify. So there's just not even – I don't know. I mean, it's a really difficult situation. Now, you heard Mickey Joseph say that he indicated – I thought it sounded like Casey's raring to get back. He said – Mickey said, I imagine Casey is texting me right now saying he wants to play next week.
But he also said that he's still experiencing nerve damage issues in his pinky finger on his right throwing arm. So is he able to effectively throw the ball with that injury?
Good point. I mean,
with his grip, all that sort of thing.
You wouldn't think so. How do you grip a football if you can't feel it in your pinky?
What he's had thumb issues, same type of deal. Like that was what he battled at Texas, which led to the offseason surgery.
Yeah. So, I mean, they need him to play. I mean, for them to have any chance against Wisconsin, Iowa, or literally any team you could throw out there, they need Casey Thompson. Because right now, the level of quarterback play, and it's not just the quarterbacks, but the way the offense operates with those quarterbacks is so ineffective and so stagnant that you are almost surprised when they get past midfield.
Right. And so, Sean, one other thing here. I'd be concerned if I was Mickey about just the team being demoralized by it. I mean, the defense really slugs away. They keep slugging. The defense has plenty of fight left in it. But, man, I mean, what do you do? Hey, Michigan ran 69 plays. Nebraska ran 49. You can't. That just can't win that way. Uh-huh. The other team running 20 more plays. You can't. It's going to be hard, right?
Well, Nebraska.
In a game like this.
And you look at the drives for Nebraska, they only had two drives in the game that yielded more than 20 yards for Nebraska's offense. I mean, there was no identity, no rhythm. And I just think Whipple, I think he knows football. He knows offense. But this has been a struggle for him to kind of marry his thoughts with this roster. And
yeah.
And just – getting it to work. I mean, Trey Palmer in this game was targeted 10 times. He had five catches for 12 yards.
Yeah, how many drops?
And one key drop.
Right.
Procedural penalties were an issue in this game.
Yeah.
Trent Hixon had one early. Volkolek had one. Hixon had some troubles with the snaps.
Yeah,
those are like
penalties. I forgot about the low snaps.
They're really low.
Those are like penalties when you yeah. fall down on a play like that. So they had some things early on. The unfortunate thing is I thought the defense early at least kept Nebraska in the fight. I mean, they were there.
Oh, yeah, they did.
But Nebraska couldn't really do anything on the other end of it. 17-3, or was it 14-3?
17-3 at halftime, Sean.
17-3 at half, but did Nebraska make it 14-3 with their made field goal?
Yes. Yeah.
So, I mean, there were moments like, okay, if the defense, you know, Ernest Hausman and Garrett Nelson made plays,
yeah,
that, you know, they could do something here, but you know, Michigan averaged on their sack adjusted rush yards, averaged 5.9 yards per carry.
Yeah, that's what I mean by it's demoralizing for that defense. They are playing hard, but I'll tell you what. Now, what I wrote is I'm glad you touched on that 5.9 yards a carry. Michigan up front on off both sides, but it really made an impression on me how Michigan was moving the line of scrimmage. It seemed like they could, you know, if it was third and four, they could run for it.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, they did. and they were moving the line of scrimmage. They're moving the line of scrimmage at times. They just, you know, they get that wall going, even against 6-7 Nebraska defenders, and they'd push them back 7, 8, 9 yards. You saw Illinois do that too. See, Nebraska, the next head coach has to have an answer right out of the bat for Trev Alberts, how he's going to how he's going to improve the trenches, both sides. There's no way this program is going to do anything in this league until it gets that taken care of.
Yeah, you think about a November Saturday in the Big Ten, light snow coming down, you know, just a Big Ten day like this. Yeah. You're not going to win dinking and dunking.
Ah, it's hard. It'd be hard.
You know, you get these rugby scrums where Michigan and, you know, you can just see the passion in the crowd, how this is the kind of football you play in this
league. Roar. There's a visceral roar.
And you know, Nebraska fans want to do that too, but they can't.
They did in the Big 8 and they did it in the Big 12. They haven't been able to do it in the Big 10.
Hi, it's Sean Callahan with Husker Online. We all have smartphones and we all know they're pretty amazing, but they also can be amazingly distracting, especially when we're around other people. So US Cellular wants us to reset our relationship with our phones by putting down our phones for five. That's right. A company that sells phones wants us to put down our phones and see what we find. Learn more at uscellular.com/builtforus.
Well, flashback to 2018 when we were sitting here. Michigan just rolled over them 56-10. And after that game, Scott Frost goes in the postgame room and says that this is rock bottom. And this was a clear example of how far the gap was with the trench play between Nebraska and the likes of Michigan. Well, here we are.
They haven't closed it.
You know, what, four years later? And doesn't seem like there's been much progress in that regard. The defense was better.
Yeah.
But the offensive line, I mean, they couldn't run.
Hey, Sean, I'm going to defend Whipple a little bit here. I mean, what do you do when you have a substandard offensive line? I mean, it's hard. It would be hard for Parcells to call plays. Did Parcells call plays?
No, he had an offensive coordinator.
Okay. You know what I'm talking about. It'd be hard for Shanahan to call plays.
Or yeah, Lincoln Riley.
Yeah.
Like if Lincoln Riley said,
if you don't got the horses up front in this league, good luck calling plays.
Well, I don't know if Whipple really identifies with this league very well.
I'd say he doesn't. Like, I would give you that.
Like, I mean, I think he knows football, understands the game. No one's going to ever question that. But I don't know if his game knowledge really identifies with Big Ten football.
Yeah, I mean, at least not with the commitment to the run. We talked all week about what the balance was going to be between wanting to do what they want to do offensively or doing what they want to do offensively, but then also doing what they need to do to protect their defense, to protect their quarterback, take some of the pressure off there and really lean into that running game to kind of maybe change the identity a little bit. Well, they were almost a 50-50 split in the first half, and then the game got away from them. They had to start throwing the ball. And, the runs seemed to work, you know, especially early on. I thought they were getting some good chunks. And then start the second half.
Oh, hey, Rob, just okay.
They rode Anthony Grant, I think he touched the ball like five straight times. To open the third quarter, you got a first down, and all of a sudden they went away from it. So
yeah, Grant and Irvin combined for I think 6 carries and 15 yards in the first half.
Jeez,
yeah, they weren't getting much in the first. They couldn't get much. Now that's why I defend Whipple a little bit. I mean, I wrote it down. I'll get the stat. You guys keep talking, but it wasn't much in the first half.
And if you're just joining us, we're live here in the big house in Ann Arbor. Sean Callahan, Steve Sipple, Robin Washett. I think we got our road post-game stuff figured out here. We tried to kind of do a kind of a cheaper setup of our post-game show. We learned that didn't work, so we brought all the equipment to Ann Arbor, and I think the setup's working pretty well, guys.
Sean, we could stay up here for a couple hours if you want to.
I might set up shop here.
This is pretty nice.
It is kind of surreal. We're sitting in the middle of the big house on the 50-yard line.
Where the coaches call plays from.
Right. I'm sitting probably where Whip sat.
Yeah.
In the second half.
Pretty good view.
Now, let's talk Whipple. Like, his situation, his health. Like, do you think he'll move up to the booth permanently?
Yeah, well,
I think he'll have to.
Wouldn't that be the most logical
move? He was adamant about not being in the booth. It was always interesting that he never wanted to be up in the booth.
So, you know, I'm going to write about this for Monday morning in our five burning questions, but that he's on record saying that he prefers to be on the sideline because he gets that face-to-face interaction with his quarterbacks. Like, that in particular is why he wants to be on the sideline. And you look at Nebraska's quarterback situation, if Casey Thompson is not playing and you got a banged up Logan Smothers or whoever at quarterback, that disconnect from plays and communication from the coach's box to the sideline, as opposed to that, the face-to-face, I wonder how that's going to impact things. So, I mean, I think that's a whole nother layer to this where, the quarterback is going to need some help, and having your offensive coordinator, the guy that he works one-on-one with all week going into that game against Wisconsin, is Whipple going to try to push to be on the sideline, even though, depending on what the severity of that injury is, he might not be able to physically.
Who would be now, you guys, who would be behind Logan? If Chuba's
probably Masker,
no, Cynic.
Yeah, really? That's why I asked. Yeah,
Masker didn't come in. I mean, Jared Cynic
didn't come in. What do you mean, come in to the trip?
No. Cynic played the final
Cynic
drive.
Came in the final drive.
Okay,
just hand the ball off.
Damon Benning on the Husker post game or the broadcast, mentioned that he was getting good reps in practice this week. Crazy. And throw it around. So the walk-on from Hastings, Jared Cynic is now the next guy up.
And Heinrich Harburg did not travel, and it seems like he is very far down the list of potential options Nebraska might go to.
And Matt Masker, I think they like his presence and what he brings, but they're not going to put him out on the Big Ten in this type of situation.
But they'll put Jared Cynic out there?
That Jared's a better athlete.
Masker's played in games.
I'm just telling you what they say. Yeah, Cynic's arm's better. He's got
better arm.
Damon Benning said on the radio that his arm actually really impresses the coaching staff. So that's why he's getting the reps. I think it is what it is with a walk-on. Now I'm blanking on his name. Masker.
Yeah. Matt Masker.
His situation.
And they're not going to play Torres. Like, even if it's not no risk of burning a red shirt at this point, like, they don't think he's ready. Like, I don't think he's an option for him at all.
Yeah, Harburg. That's a
Harburg one. That's curious to me.
A little curious. I think it's time to go to tight end or time to go to another school, maybe.
Yeah, and that's that's the reality. Like, what's going to happen? There's going to be a lot of changes with this roster, with this staff, and we got 2 weeks left. A lot of people asking too. By the way, do we have a kickoff time for Wisconsin? We don't know yet.
People care.
We've had multiple people asking the chat.
Saturdays.
It's the last home game. We know it's going to be 11 or 2:30. That's all we know. But we don't know the time yet. We should know though, maybe tonight, like it wouldn't be
tomorrow morning for sure.
Well, they might wait till these night games get off the air. Cause it depends on who has the windows and, the Big 12 might be involved in some of these games, for next weekend, but we'll know probably for sure in the morning. If not tonight,
I got to tell you guys, I missed that Cynic coming in. I was writing. I didn't see Jared. He came in hand off to somebody.
Yeah. To Cooper Jewett.
Did he?
Yeah. They unloaded the bench.
Okay.
And that's, I've had some walk-on families in a game like this where it's over at the end. There's some guys that have been here 5 years that have never played a play.
Get them in the big stadium
and put them in there. I mean, yeah. I get it. You're prideful and you want to not get blown out, but I think Jim Harbaugh or whoever is going to recognize, all right, let's get our backups in too, in that situation. So it was good to see some of those guys get on the field, in a game like this.
Absolutely.
Because they work hard at it too.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And to say they played in the big house against this Michigan team is going to.
Their potential national champion.
Their potential national championship team. To say you played in a big house against a national championship team or a potential national championship team, you can say that the rest of your life with pride.
Now, I will say this. I still think last year's Michigan team is better than this year's
team. Wow. Why do you say that, Sean?
The playmakers they had on defense.
Yeah, Aiden Hutchinson.
They had three of the top 50 draft picks.
Yeah, they had two guys coming off.
Three top 50 draft picks.
They had two guys, Ojabo coming off the other edge.
Yeah. One, Dax Hill.
Yeah.
The corner.
Yeah,
he was a first rounder.
Yeah.
So they had two first rounders in the second round.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Okay, that's not a bad take.
And so, I think schematically, though, and what they do, they're a really good team. I didn't see, a defense, though, that had that kind of star power. Quorum is good, but they'd have a hard time against Georgia.
Ooh, right now, you think?
I think they would.
Georgia's not what they were last year, Sean.
I don't know.
Not what they were last year. They ran up against a Georgia defense that was one of the best defenses of all time. Yeah, and they got handed. Well,
quarterback play, I think McCarthy
did look good today.
A little limited, so
yeah.
That Ohio State game is going to be big. The weather is going to be a factor.
I'll take Michigan.
Going Michigan in that game.
Yeah, J.J. McCarthy today, 8 for 17, 129, two touchdowns. That's an awful good caretaker, though. I mean, he's awfully fast.
Yeah. He left a lot of yards on the field, though.
He did.
In fact, Nebraska was actually better off when Michigan tried to, like, do this, like, air attack offense and stopped running the ball.
I think
that gave him a better chance to get stops.
I think that's Jim getting ready for the big games down the – I mean, getting ready for Ohio State.
Like, kicking that late field goal. Like, he's like, all right, I might need this kind of practice.
Right.
In the game and against Ohio State.
Getting ready for Ohio State, getting ready for the college football playoff.
Yeah, either that or he bet Michigan with points.
How about that? Ohio State was a 40-point favorite. They covered. Michigan, a 30.5, they covered. I mean, those are massive lines. And
I know.
But it tells you the struggles of Nebraska's offense is why that line was so high. I mean, Nebraska should have scored more than 3 points in this game. They should have scored 17, 10.
Yeah, I think the over-under was like right around 50-something, and I think the projected total points were like Michigan around 40, Nebraska around 10. Yeah. So that's kind of where Vegas was seeing that in that range. So 10 points was what Vegas thought. Nebraska couldn't even get that.
Jacob, going back to Michigan's comments about game last year, Sean, are you saying that you think Nebraska was better last year too? Yeah, absolutely they were better last year.
I think so too.
Like, Nebraska had multiple pros on their team last year that aren't here. And, you know, Adrian was playing at a pretty high level at times last year, and they could put up points and yards.
Yeah, I think
they put up like 600 yards on Northwestern last year.
I'm with you, Sean. I mean, you take JoJo Doman off, he's on a roster. He's on a – if he's not on a roster, he's close.
Crack Cam.
Cam Taylor-Britt's on a – starting. Safeties. Yeah.
Jurgens.
Yeah, you took some pro talent off a lot of it, actually.
Yeah, and it's not even debate. And Damian Daniels,
Daniels was good.
And honestly, like, DeAndre Thomas is as good or better than Stephon Wynn and Devin Drew. Like, yeah. I mean, they're Nebraska right now is just okay up front. They don't have the horses.
Yeah. No, you're right. They're all just right. Okay.
We got a super chat question.
Where's our super chat at?
Tyler, red wine.
Let's see.
It's in green.
I lost my.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
There it is. Tyler. Hey, thank you, Tyler. If we don't hear a coach announcement this week, can we safely assume it's going to be a sitting head coach? A la not Meyer, Rule, Mickey Joseph. My question to you guys is, what do you gain by upstaging the Iowa and Wisconsin games by naming the new coach?
One answer I could give you is it changes the narrative around the program to where you're not talking about how terrible the season is, how you just got housed by 31 points at Michigan and you're out of bowl contention. The season's over. Now you're turning the page.
Season's not over.
To a head coach. You know, you're at least saying this is where the future is.
Do you want
heading.
The press conference though to be dominated by questions to the kids about the new coach when there's still two games left to be played?
It's not a good look. Yeah.
I just think you got to think about that situation a little bit better.
Tell Garrett Nelson the season's over.
Like, do you want to have the press conference before Iowa or Wisconsin? And guys, I know you play Wisconsin, but let's talk about Matt Rhule. Let's talk about Urban Meyer. Let's talk about whoever the coach is.
They only get 12 games.
And I think Trev is smart enough to know, like, hopefully he has it ready to roll though by like Saturday or Sunday after Iowa and it's out.
Well, what if he wants to interview coaches after the season? What if he wants to do some interviews?
Well, do you think some of these interviews though could happen the way the Scott Frost
could? You know, some coaches will do that, some won't.
Yeah, what Frost did in Philadelphia was pretty.
I don't know if it's rare, but some will do it.
He did it the day before a game.
Yeah,
when they were playing Temple.
I guarantee he wasn't comfortable. I guarantee Scott wasn't comfortable. But I don't. What else would you gain? What if you're trying to get Rhule and Auburn's trying to get Rhule and you just try to lock him up?
Daniel makes a comment here because Mickey brought the recruiting comment up again that we got to keep recruiting, we got to get better players. And he said, if the season isn't over, why is Mickey saying our players aren't good enough and our issue is recruiting?
Well, that's good. It's a good question.
That was the number one thing about what needs to improve. He says recruiting.
Recruiting. Got to recruit better.
So, yes, you can directly lead that. Our players aren't good enough right now. We need better players.
Unfortunately, it's – I don't know. Mickey would probably tell you that. No, I don't. He said, we got our players. Our players are good players. But obviously, our record would indicate we're not good enough.
Well, and here's another issue, too. I mean, you can get the ball rolling on what is going to be a very quick turnaround with the offseason calendar, with when the transfer portal opens after the season. I mean, to be able to let your current coach maybe start figuring that sort of stuff out, I guess there might be some value in that.
But the NIL operation, though, it's going to be running a lot of that behind the scenes, too. Yeah. And luckily, Nebraska's got that going, like that they have. But
I just don't think you got to get in a rush. I don't. There's not that.
And there might be people that are just held on regardless until after signing day, because you're going to need people around that understand what's going on, because it's going to be so fast and furious. You can't just say we're bringing 50 new people up here and figure it out.
Mm-hmm. No. Anyway, what else? You got any other questions?
All right, let's see. Yeah, a lot of comments about just the early.
Early what?
Oh, Scary Gary said, Sip watches no football. Thank you, Scary Gary.
What is that supposed to mean?
Scary Gary's been.
He's on you tonight.
He's on you. 8-17 is a good caretaker.
Say that again.
8-17. I don't know.
Eight for 17. He's talking about quarterback.
Well, McCarthy. Caretaker from the standpoint, Scary Gary, that. I mean, he's got to hand off and pitch the ball to those running backs and just keep the running game going. They don't ask McCarthy. They're not asking McCarthy to do a lot, Scary Gary. Watch him football.
Frank agrees with us that nothing to gain by announcing the head coach. Have to respect the players. And
I think you do have to respect the players. I do. I don't know if it's blatant disrespect to name him, but it's pretty close to blatant disrespect to name a head coach before the season's over. The season's not over.
And Scary Gary does think, Sipple, that Ohio State will beat Michigan by 2 touchdowns. Mm.
Yeah, you got to watch more football, Gary.
we're giving Scary Gary super chat status here.
No kidding.
We're about a half hour in as Nebraska loses here in Ann Arbor, Michigan, 34-3. This is their fourth trip to Ann Arbor since joining the Big Ten Conference. Nebraska now 1-3 in this building. The lone win was the Tommy Armstrong
2013 show.
Amir Abdullah, Randy Gregory win, kind of Brady Hoke's nail in the coffin, really. Yep. But other than that, we've seen Nebraska get handled 3 times now in this stadium.
Yeah,
they've handled.
They haven't been close.
Yeah. 2011
cost them a Fiesta Bowl bid.
2011, I think it was 45-10. Does that sound right? 45-10. That was Levante chasing around Shoelace, right? Mm-hmm.
It was closer than that, though. It kind of just fell apart late.
Yeah. Then 56-10 in 2018. And now this.
Yeah, that 2011 game, if Nebraska would have won, they would have gone as like a BCS at large. And they would have gone to the Fiesta Bowl. That year, Brady Hoke went to the Sugar Bowl. Mm-hmm. So, like, that was a big game at that time for Nebraska to have a chance to go to a BCS.
2011.
Yeah, and it fell through.
Yeah, that was Shoelace. And Levante, it could have been worse. Levante was making a lot of plays in the open field, just cleaning things up. Mm-hmm.
That was a bad matchup for him.
Yeah, this place has been rough. It's a rough place. I mean, I always am amazed when people say it's not that hard to play here. The stadium slopes back, whatever they say. Ah, this place is rough. I mean, it's a daunting spot to try to beat Michigan, especially when they're going good.
And now you got Wisconsin coming in this week. And, you know, Wisconsin and Iowa, you know, both have played a lot better as of late.
Yeah.
Iowa beats Wisconsin, though.
How about Iowa?
And they're all of a sudden in the driver's seat.
How about Iowa?
They are kind of back in control of the West. How about that, Doug Lessamore?
They just don't die.
Doug Lessamore. Yeah, Cleveland.com columnist came after Ferentz pretty hard.
He'll get another shot at Ferentz, though, in Indianapolis for the Big Ten. Well, yeah, assuming that Ohio State makes it there.
Yeah, that's a big assumption. That's a big assumption.
In Iowa, too. I mean, for that matter. I mean, right. Iowa has been a hard team to figure. Illinois, though, they have just fallen apart.
What the hell?
I know. They blew it today. Like, they could have punched their ticket to Indianapolis, and they blew it at home as a favorite over a struggling Purdue team.
Yeah.
That was a bad loss.
Yeah, Purdue had lost 2 straight, and Purdue put a lot of yards on them. I mean, I didn't think they would. Scary Gary's right about some things. I was dead wrong about Purdue. I thought Purdue would score a maximum of 10 against Illinois, and they scored 28 or 31. They scored 31.
I don't remember the final.
31, I think.
Joe has a kind of a not so nice comment. He goes, "These guys won't have connections with the new coach. They're scared." Joe, I got to tell you this, Joe. We've been around a long time.
Scared.
And there have been new coaches that have come in that we don't have any connections to. And one thing that all of us do, we make great relationships with coaches and people because we treat people like people. We're just normal, down to earth guys.
Why? I mean, scared is a strange word to use.
Why would we be scared, Joe? Why are you bringing that? Sorry, I had to call Joe out.
That's okay.
What do you got?
It's a rough season.
Yeah, it's a rough season. Yeah,
everybody's just mad.
Let's get mad at Robin and Sean and Sip because the they're scared that they're not going to have connections to the coaching staff.
Yeah, that's the last thing we're worried about. But more concerned about having to cover two more games where we don't even know who the quarterback's going to be.
And yeah.
They're going against another of the top running backs, not only in the Big Ten, but in the country, Braylon Allen. And, you know, they've done a good enough job, in my opinion, over these last three backs. I mean, yes, they've gotten a lot of yards, but they've come in a ton of carries, and it wasn't like 200-plus yard, three touchdown efforts that it potentially could have been. But, I mean, just the totality, and now this being the fourth game in a row against another physical offense, you know, is the defense going to be able to have an effort like they did again?
I imagine they will, but you're right. It takes a toll.
But, I mean, just the physical and mental grind of having to be out there that long, week in, week out, against that level of competition, it's only going to continue to get harder. Yeah. And I'll throw Iowa in that mix, too. I was going to run the ball right at them, too.
And their defense. Iowa's defense is on
probably on par with Michigan.
Yeah, and what they hung with Michigan.
Yeah.
Defensively.
Probably on par with Michigan.
I mean, Iowa's defense scores about, 14 points a game at this point between special teams and defense. So can Nebraska outscore Iowa's defense? I think that's the question.
Yeah, Corum was good today. His offensive line really helps him. Corum didn't have a run over 12. I mean, he never had a run over 12 yards. They did a good job. I mean, Nebraska's defense continues to do a good job, but Rob's right. There's a breaking point. They haven't hit it, but you wonder.
All right, Cameron hits us in the super chat. What do you guys think of the Deion rumors? Do they have any traction?
I don't think so.
No, I mean, I think this is another one of those things, like the secret regent meeting that we dealt with 2 weeks ago that we know was not true.
And
we know that because we've talked to high level of people.
Wasn't true. There's no truth to it.
And Eric Strickland, who you work with, has a strong connection to Deion Sanders. He texted Deion Sanders.
He's married to Deion's ex.
Oh.
So they go way back.
Okay.
Yeah, and he texted him and said, I mean, you take it for what it's worth. You know, it was Deion. He's like, yeah, I'm taking the job tomorrow. Like, so, you know, it is what it is. But Deion said no truth to it. So if nothing else, there is on record comment from Deion. And oh, by the way, Deion addressed his team in a video today saying that there's no truth to the rumors either. So that's out there as well. Again, what do you expect him to say? But the fact that this complaint came out of completely out of left field and the very immediate response from Deion to shut it down, I don't know. It just doesn't make any sense.
Guys, Zach Smith started it.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to take Zach Smith as like some credible source now. That
Zach
creep.
Smith started that?
Yes.
Wow.
Oh, another super chat here. This one from Spark Adventures. When will the new head coach be announced?
Sean, you're thinking, okay, so Nebraska plays on Black Friday. You're thinking Saturday or Sunday.
Yeah, I think it depends, though. If the guy's coaching championship weekend, you know, it could go a week longer.
Or if Trev wants to interview people that are playing, he might want to do some interviews. Interviews happen. I mean, those guys interview for jobs.
It's really sticky, though, with the portal in December 5th because your current roster, I'm not so much talking about, you know, adding new players because they're going to add new players. But you've got a week from Monday through Thursday where it's a dead period where you can meet with your team to discuss the roster in the portal with those players.
Monday starting after
Iowa.
Okay. Really?
Yeah. Monday through Thursday is a dead period. Mm-hmm. So the coaches normally would go out on the road. Then they don't now. And it's a stay at home in the office to figure out your roster. So if you don't have that coach hired, like let's say we're not over there Monday for a press conference or Sunday, who is going to be running those meetings? Mm-hmm. Like who is going to be managing the roster decisions? with the portal thing looming. Like, how Trev has to have a plan for that. He has to understand what that week means.
I think so. Yeah, that's a good point, Sean.
Yeah, that's why I'm sure that there's a desire to interview coaches, and I'm sure a lot of value to it, but I don't know if they have that luxury at this point, especially considering how long this process has gone. There's got to have been enough back channel communication to have a pretty good read on a guy, assuming they have a guy picked. Like, if that's the case, you got to feel pretty good about knowing what that coach is all about, even though you haven't had the formal sit down, I want the job, we want you to have the jobs conversation. That's just my take.
Okay.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Still getting a lot of comments about Lane Kiffin.
Kiffin?
It'd be fun.
Okay. I mean, would you feel confident with Lane on the sideline? Yeah. Would you feel confident about Lane bolstering the roster? Yeah.
Yes.
Ole Miss is running the ball. They're really running it. I don't know what's happening today with Ole Miss, but they were third in the country in rushing. And they got three really good running backs. They're tearing people up on the ground, Sean and Rob. I'd feel confident with Lane.
I don't know if Lane has. I know he was born in Lincoln. Monty played here.
Coached here too. Yeah,
but I don't know if he has the affinity for Nebraska like his dad would.
Well, now wait a second, Sean. I mean, why would Matt Rule have more affinity? Who would have more affinity? You got to hire.
No, I know, but I just think this thought that he would just jump ship. I mean, if anything, Lane Kiffin's like eyeballing Alabama after Saban retires.
Yeah, that could be. But affinity. I mean. He'd have more affinity than most of the guys we're talking about. I mean, he has direct connections in his family. Well,
and we know his brother Chris was a coach here, for a while,
and his dad was almost the head coach here.
Yeah, and it kind of went him and Osborne. They kind of went their own ways.
Yeah. After he didn't get the job, I mean, Tom got the head coaching job after Devaney. Monty wanted that job, didn't get it, and then lit out on his own, and was a head coach. I think he was a head coach at both NC State and Arkansas. Became a defensive coordinator later with the Dallas Cowboys. But hey, Sean, I think I'm now me and you disagree on this 100%. I think Lane might have affinity for the program because of those connections, because of his family connections, his family history, his family, period.
You could say, would you say there's baggage with him? I mean, just with the way that his previous stops have ended.
They haven't been
cordial.
Seems like he's moved past that.
Though. Well, when he got to,
maybe he's matured a little bit.
And I got a firsthand look at Lane Kiffin like two or three years in a row. I went down to Florida Atlantic when he was kind of like, at the bottom of his head coaching climb. And
he was on a rehab assignment.
His first, this was published, like a pitcher. His first week or few weeks in Boca for that job, he went into the main college nightclub bar and posed for pictures with girls. Yeah. And I was curious about that when I was there, and I was talking to some of the people at FAU, and he's like, oh yeah, it was alarm bells. Cause the AD at that time really put his neck out to get Lane Kiffin. They cleared out the entire building and they said, everyone out of the building. We don't want anyone to hear this meeting. And they had him and Lane had a meeting and just said, hey, you can't be doing that.
Is that right?
Is
that right?
He had a boat down there too, and he would always take the Adidas people out on his boat and have a pretty good time, I think, on the boat. But yeah, I don't know. I just don't know if another name that keeps getting mentioned is Gary Patterson, and Spark just brought that in the super chat. Are we downplaying Gary Patterson?
We haven't played him up much, but nobody has. Football Scoop had his name, and when Football Scoop put his name out, that was the first I'd seen it and really had heard much about it. Mm-hmm. He's basically an analyst.
How old
Texas,
is he?
62. He's basically an analyst at Texas, so he's very available. I don't know what to make of that. He got run out of TCU.
And now they're good with all his players. I bet that's chapped him a little bit.
Yeah, well, it got sideways with him at TCU. So I don't know what to – I mean, you're taking on a guy who just got fired, okay, at TCU. I don't think it would be the best hire. I don't know what the fan base would say. It doesn't seem like there's anybody, though, that the fan base would be.
Yeah, literally name anyone, and there's going to be a faction of the fan base that absolutely hates the hire.
And CB brings up a great super chat comment. Thank you, CB, about Mark Stoops. Did losing to Vanderbilt make him a harder sell? And I don't know about you guys, but I hate to play, oh, he beat this team.
Yeah, the week to week.
I mean, it's like they got a coach week to week for the Nebraska job. I think you got to look at the body of work. Mm-hmm. And what they've done as a coach. You can't just say, oh, this week knocks him out of the job.
No, I agree with you. The one that I think has coached himself out is Campbell.
Yeah.
Matt Campbell at Iowa State. Just too much losing over two seasons, though. I mean, this season and last season.
Well, last year he had an NFL draft pick quarterback and running back.
Yes.
And they didn't, they underachieved with that.
Big time.
I just think if you try to hire Matt Campbell right now, there's going to be a lot of disappointed people.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes, definitely. Who were we just talking about before Matt Campbell? Who was
Gary Patterson?
Was it Patterson?
Stoops.
Oh, yes. Mark Stoops. So going back to, did he coach himself down? I mean, yeah, I don't like the week to week analysis. I look at it more that he's got Kentucky as a top 25 team. Kentucky.
Yeah. And they got upset. They're good enough to be upset.
I mean, that's building a program from nothing. When he inherited Kentucky football, they were garbage.
They were a ranked team. What is today? November 12th. They're ranked on November 12th. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's not easy to do.
Yeah. So, I mean, I look at body of work definitely with the Mark Stoops conversation and really with all these guys outside of the week to week.
And I think about fit, and Stoops would fit. I mean, he'd fit he's got a sort of a blue collar mentality. I think he'd fit it in Lincoln. And Lane, in his own strange way, might be a little much. Lane might be a little much.
Yeah, I mean, I worry about just
he's single.
The rumors and things that we've dealt with, like that, may or may not be true about. I mean, imagine what it would be like with Lane Kiffin.
Right. Oh, it'd be a lot. Oh, yeah. God, that's a good point, Sean.
And Trev definitely pointed out character in his press conference about, so
not to say Lane's got bad character. He's got bad character,
but again, he's had some issues before that led to kind of ugly breakups at previous schools.
Yeah. So here's a nugget on Stoops that's interesting to me, that has him. Well, first of all, and this was published in Lexington, he was divorced with his wife.
And
it was
Stoops,
Mark Stoops, and his ex-wife moved back to Denver, where she's from, with their two boys that are 16 and I believe sixth grade or seventh grade. So he's got two young boys that are in Denver. Mm-hmm. That don't live in Lexington, with him full time. Mm-hmm. A job like Nebraska, number one, would be a football first school. Kentucky is not a football first school. Number two, you'd get the stadium, the facilities, the resource, and more money. Mm-hmm. And you would be easier accessible to access your sons and get them. There's multiple flights a day, Lincoln, Omaha to Denver. So that's a factor in the Stoops conversation. And Jim Rose brought that up as well on the Monday Night Quarterback thing. What else can he do at Kentucky?
Yeah, he's plateaued there.
His boys are at a pretty important stage of their life. And, if he can be that much closer to them and access them, that might be something to think
about. Do you guys think he'd be a good fit?
I do. Yeah, I do.
I think he would fit the Big Ten.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah, Lincoln and the Big Ten. That's a good point, Rob. I mean, got to fit this league. I think you got to fit this league. Now, there's guys that buck that a little bit. Like Brohm doesn't really fit the way he runs the operation. But it's working. I mean, it doesn't mean there's you have to be like Wisconsin, Iowa, Illinois, Michigan. But I think in Lincoln, that makes the most sense.
Like my top two, I guess, today Stoops and Fickell.
Yeah, well, you're not getting Fickell.
I know. Why aren't we getting Fickell?
I just don't know if there's any mutual interest.
Yeah.
Do we know that though?
It's just my assumption.
But yeah, going to the Big 12, like he's in a great spot.
Yeah. Yeah, Sean, Cincinnati, he's got all those kids. He's got six kids. I don't know if he'd want to uproot.
Catholic guy.
Yeah, I don't know if he'd want to uproot. And I think he's got designs on other jobs.
I agree.
Bigger.
I think he's sitting on two jobs, Notre Dame and Ohio State.
Yeah.
Or Michigan.
Ooh, Michigan.
I mean, you're talking about that level. And right now, Nebraska's not there.
He turned down Michigan State.
They're not there.
He turned down Michigan State.
Like, it was like when that Michigan State job opened,
right, went right to Fickell.
At that time, like, everyone's like, yeah, Fickell, no brainer. He said no. Mm-hmm. Now we got another super chat question here. Matthew Calloway, more of a comment. Now, is hiring a coach in season too disrespectful to the players, but firing a coach in season wasn't? This is big business. It's basically saying,
oh, I get it. I get what he's saying.
You fired Frost. That's disrespectful. Why can't you hire a guy? Like, what's the difference?
It's different. I mean, because the announcement. I mean, and you were fired Frost because you thought it'd be better with someone else in charge. That it flattened out with Frost, and it clearly had, by the way. That you thought you'd get a boost by firing Frost. You're not getting a boost by hiring anybody because that guy's not going on a sideline.
And you think about this season.
Isn't that right? I mean, they fired Frost essentially because they thought it would improve the operation.
Yeah, you could at least paint it in the picture that they were trying to salvage the season.
Right.
Whereas hiring a new coach means that you are turning the page
right
on the season.
So I think
that's how you can.
Yeah, I think it's markedly different.
Spark had just a Luke Fickell comment again in the super chat. I'll simplify that question. Do you think Luke Fickell's at least been contacted?
Hard to say. Hard to say.
Did Nebraska gauge interest?
I'm sure they did.
Yeah. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
He's silly not to.
Right.
But what was the response
right
to that interest? That's
okay. I don't want to say I'm sure they would, but you would think they would.
I think they would be silly if they don't at least ask
right
someone that knows Luke Fickell, would he be interested if
now
we asked him?
Mike has commented that Fickell's wife won't let him move to Lincoln.
I don't know that.
I don't know
that. Yeah, I don't. That's a hard thing to say at this point.
Yeah.
I actually, it was funny. We were on vacation in Florida, and I saw Luke Fickell and his wife at our hotel not this summer, but the summer before.
It's amazing.
Walking around. It was summer of 21, and I don't know if their kids are with him or not, but he was down in Florida and Marco Island just enjoying life on his vacation. But yeah, he's got six young kids that are all school age.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
when you move an operation like that, it's more than just coaching, right?
You're not just taking a job down the street to the company across town or whatever.
I'll tell you what, though. If they did get Fickell, it'd be an amazing
hire. Oh, yeah. I mean, I check about every box.
The only reason I don't talk about him is because I don't think they can get him. But if they did get him, hello. I mean,
yeah, I'm the same way.
Instantly better.
Same way.
Yeah, it's kind of like the girl in the bar. Like, you just like, I'm not even going to go up to her because she's just going to shut me down. You know, like that's how I think you feel about Luke Fickell.
Yeah, when you're six rolling in there, that. You just gotta
you never had this problem. Oh.
All right, better move on.
Well, thank you. Yeah, we're getting down a rabbit hole here. All right. Yeah. More of the Luke Fickell comments here.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
But we're wrapping up here, guys. Last few minutes here as we move out of the big house. Key question.
Ooh, I got a question for us. So senior day coming up next week. Sometimes you get guys that aren't listed as seniors that go through senior day. Do we expect any of that to happen this week?
Ooh.
COVID has just destroyed senior days in general. Like,
it really has.
Like, I mean, like last year, Colton Feast went through senior
day. Right. He's got to go through it
and
again.
He had 2 years of eligibility left.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Like, Colton Feast could come back again. Like, I mean, so
yeah, I guess
it's really, really hard to know.
Yeah, Derek Walker will have his third senior day this week for Nebraska basketball.
You're thinking of guys like O'Shawn Mathis.
Yeah. Or like a Trey Palmer.
Trey Palmer.
You know, guys that
Garrett Nelson. Nelson's a junior
that at least have
O'Shawn
a potential O'Shawn, option to move on to the NFL.
Anthony Grant. Mm-hmm. Is he going through senior day?
Great question. And God, that that release, we'll really have to talk to Keith and other folks in football. It's kind of like
press release.
Yeah. With it's the list of players that are going to be honored.
Do they send out a release?
Yes.
I haven't done this for very long, so I don't know.
I mean, what if like Heinrich Harburg has a senior day, or, you know, like, I'm just, yeah. I mean, like just underclassmen guys that, I mean, know they're leaving Nebraska and they want to get honored.
Uh-huh. You know? Yeah. I don't think he would do that.
No, I know. I'm just throwing out hypotheticals.
Who else is on that list? O'Shawn, Garrett Nelson, Anthony Grant, Trey Palmer. Those guys are
like Luke Reimer wouldn't be a guy that would.
God, no, I wouldn't think so.
Well, this is his fourth year.
Yeah, he's only a sophomore, junior. He's junior. Right. I don't think he'd be
fourth year though. But I know he's not.
You're right.
Got another super chat here. So who are the final candidates from Michael Mitchell? Who do you think are the final candidates? I mean, I wish we knew, Michael. I really do. I don't think any of us know.
The most steam, let's say that. Rule has a lot of steam.
Rule Stoops.
We agree. Those two have steam.
Absolutely.
And what? Okay. Why is Doran not?
I don't know.
About?
Like, I don't know.
He won again. He's 8-2.
I don't know.
Doesn't have his sexy name appeal as some of the other guys.
Look at that resume, though.
Yeah. He's 8-2.
Look at that resume.
Yeah.
If you guys don't think Doran's good, look at that resume. Just take 10 minutes. Go to Wiki and look at his resume.
And was it on the show last week? I compared it like you'd be getting like a Jeff Brohm type guy.
It just
kind of reminds you of a Jeff Brohm.
You know, the name that's not doesn't seem to have a lot of steam is Leipold. That just doesn't seem like
he peaked early. He was like a September coaching search star, but they're winning. Do they win today, Kansas?
I don't know. Aranda doesn't have much now. I heard last week from somebody connected at Baylor that Baylor will do whatever it takes to keep him.
K-State beat Baylor 31-3 today.
Oh, that doesn't help. Hmm. Not game to game. I'm not going game to game.
About Chris Klieman.
But yeah, Klieman doesn't have much steam. But Aranda, I count Aranda out.
I've had some people in the industry tell me that we should be considering Klieman, like that he should be discussed.
Right, but so the only two names we've come up with steam are Rule
Stoops
and Mark Stoops. That's Mickey had steam, but I just don't think Mickey's got steam now.
Yeah, and the theory on Mickey, and Damon Benning brought this up on Big Red Wrap-Up, is it would allow Trev to make two coaching hires, where if it doesn't work out with Mickey, he can make the next hire still.
Yeah, I guess that's an odd way to look at it.
you have two swings at it. Where if you make the
big – Well, that's great for Trev, but I don't think that's great for the program.
Yeah, I don't think you go into this
saying, hey, looking at your backup plan for
– Yeah, that's great.
You don't get two putts at this. You get one, you know.
Right. What about Bill O'Brien?
Yeah, not much steam. Not much steam. I mean, it's not like I don't make calls like you don't make calls. We make calls. I don't hear much steam on O'Brien.
What about Monken?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like he
Football Scoop brought him up.
And I thought in my mind, like, oh, he'd be a guy though that wouldn't run that offense here. But then you see where he's been. He's been at Navy, Georgia Southern, Army. Like, well, he'd run that offense here because he's literally everywhere he's been has run that offense.
Yeah. I'm sure some fans wouldn't mind seeing some wishbone triple option.
I don't know if he can do that.
Kansas down, Wing by the tea. Way. By 5 points.
Two.
Kansas is down by 5 points to Texas Tech in Lubbock.
Somebody mentions Jamie Chadwell.
No. Yeah, Chadwell. Coastal Carolina. No, it doesn't. He's done well at Coastal Carolina. He runs the kind of offense that would work in Nebraska. He does runs a quarterback. Mm-hmm. Chadwell's won a lot. Chadwell is a name I've mentioned as an under-the-radar guy. I heard him early, then I haven't heard him recently. But he's always in the chat. Jamie Chadwell is always in the back of my mind. Always in the back of my mind.
All right.
I don't know what that would do for the fans.
No. No.
I don't know what that would do.
I don't know.
What would the fans say about Jamie Chadwell?
I think you need someone that's prepared for what being the head coach at Nebraska entails and all of the stuff beyond the football field that you got to deal with.
For this.
Yes.
Like if you had like
Coastal Carolina doesn't prepare you for this.
Mark Stoops would not be intimidated by this.
No.
No. Nor would Rule.
No. No.
Nor would Fickell.
No.
I mean, guys like that.
I'm with you. Now that part I'm with you on completely. That's the kind of guy I think you got to have. I don't think Lance would be intimidated by it. Leipold.
All right, guys. Well, this week
Interesting.
Should be a normal week. I think we'll have just a press conference on Tuesday. So won't get a lot
of kind of press conference on Tuesday.
The regular Wisconsin week senior day press conference.
Yeah, there you go.
And we'll hear from coordinators on Wednesday, Mickey on Thursday. So it's going to be fairly quiet. I don't think we've learned the Wisconsin kickoff yet. I want to double check if that kickoff time came out yet. No, I don't see it yet.
11 or 2:30.
Final super chat from Eric. We got to slide this in.
Fine.
If Trev hires Mickey, is it fair to say that that was Trev's plan all along? Or I'll throw a little spin off on that. Did Trev miss out on people?
No, it would not be his plan all along. He had to do an exhaustive search. That's one of the reasons why I'd be surprised. I would have been surprised if those rumors were correct last week, if it was Mickey, because a lot of people could come back at Trev in that instance and say, wait a second, did you do an exhaustive search? Why didn't it go to the end? Why you weren't going to interview anybody after the season? Those sorts of questions would arise. How exhaustive could your search have been if you named a guy 4 weeks out, 3 weeks out, whatever it was? Mm-hmm. I just think he would have got those questions. No, I don't think he's known it's going to be. If it is Mickey, which I think the chances are slim right now, there's no way he knew it all along. He had to go into this thinking, I'm doing an exhaustive search. I got to get the right guy. I got to cover a lot of ground and see what I can get. No way you do it any other way.
All right. Well, we're going to wrap it up here. Hopefully we can get out of the stadium. They don't lock us up here. We sleeping on cots in the big house otherwise, but
wouldn't be the worst thing.
Before we go, a reminder, check out HuskerOnline.com. We've got a great deal now, $25. Will get you access from now until the start of the 2023 football season. That is our current promo we're running. If you like our work, we've got great post-game coverage on Husker Online right now. $25 gets you full access to Husker Online from today all the way until the start of the 2023 football season. Thanks again for everybody for joining us. For Robin Washett, Steve Sipple, our producer in Nashville, Trey Yannity on the back end. We'll be back Monday night. We'll have the Monday night rundown show. So we'll join you again here on the YouTube channel. Thank you.